Good morning, Greater All. How's everybody doing today? Anybody done being sick? Is everybody done being sick? No? No? Well, you better get better ready quick because you better get healthy quick because allergy season is coming real soon. It's already here. It's already here. I was told that Bob and Faye Hawkins, if you're not aware of them, they're a couple here at Greater Alton, been here for years, and they're both in their mid-80s, and they've been told they've had a bad case of the flu. They've had it for a couple of weeks. I said, when you're that age and you have the flu, it's a bad case of the flu. And so, guys, want to remember them. We know as we get older, things take longer to heal. That's all there is to it, and they hit us harder. And want to remember them and the rest of us, okay? Want to thank you all for being here today. We have been talking about this year that this is the church. And what we're doing about with this series is we are looking at the way the Bible describes the church. The Bible describes the church in a handful of different ways and rather extensively on each of these ways. We've already talked about, Alan talked last week about how it's like a kingdom, or it is a kingdom, not like a kingdom, it is a kingdom. And I believe it was Mike talked about how we're a family. And Tim talked about how we are a body. It's described as a physical body and how we all have different parts to play and how every part is indispensable and every part needs to do its job, do its work. And guys, these descriptions, I believe, are there for a very, very significant reason. Because they all speak to us in nuanced ways. They all speak to us just a little bit different. And sometimes we even relate to one at one time of our life, you know, in a more major way than we do others. You know, I think specifically about the church being the kingdom of God. And we think of Jesus as our king because you don't hear that terminology as much as you hear about him being our savior. And we need to realize that a kingdom, the king has dominion. And we need to realize that we're here to serve the king. And that's what we need, to do. And you look at the church is like a body. Well, guess what? The big emphasis there in me is we all got different roles. And we all have, and every role is important and is significant. And nobody should feel insignificant. And nobody should feel superior. Okay? And these are those little ways you look at it. And today, guys, we're going to be talking about the church as God's flock. All right? And I'm going to apologize to you right now. I'll get into this in a minute. But as I look, I'm talking about us as the flock, as God's flock. If you look at this first passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter's talking to elders, pastors, overseers, who are sometimes referred to as shepherds of the church. And he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And you see, guys, that's, I'm emphasizing there the fact that we are the flock of God. We belong to him. And now I don't know about you, but you know, in my years of growing up, and especially as a young man, you know, you tried to choose your identity. You tried to choose how you were known, and some things just kind of came your way, and other times we wanted to be a certain way. We wanted to be a tough guy, or we wanted to be an intelligent, you know, educated guy, or we wanted to be, you know, an athletic person, and so we continued to work out and be involved in sports well after we were in school or our education was over with, you know, and you tend to have that and you want to do that. Never once have I heard a young man say, yeah, I just want to be seen as a sheep. You know, that's what I want to be seen as. And I say that, guys, and I emphasize that because We don't. And we really need to drill down on, and that's what we're going to do today, is what's this all about being a sheep? What's this all about being a sheep? Now, I'm apologizing because I was telling Alan backstage beforehand during the prayer time that I wish I'd have made this into two lessons. Okay, I wish I would have and talked about first the God as our shepherd. And I'm going to talk about here in a minute rather extensively, I think. And then next week talk about the flock. But guys, we cannot ignore. And I wanted to tell Alan, or I did tell Alan, I didn't want to tell him, I told him, that I just assume it, that we always see God as our shepherd. And sometimes we just forget it and we don't recognize it. And that's why we don't want to be a sheep. Because we don't recognize how good the shepherd is sometimes. See, probably the most popular passage, a popular verse, one of the most popular verses that I've heard quoted my whole life is in Psalms 23 and verse 1. You know what it is, don't you? You've been to a funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Or the King James, I shall not want. Guys, this whole passage is just amazing to me. And it's been used in many different ways and accurately in each of those ways. But to me, for the first time I looked at it and I just saw it as the character of God. I looked through the whole passage as the character of God. And I wish I could have went through that and paralleled it with Genesis 1, 2, and 3. About how God started as our shepherd. You see guys, in the beginning, God didn't just create man and woman and say, get with it. He didn't just throw them out there on their own. What did he say? He says, what's the psalmist say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's the first thing he does? He plants a garden and puts them in the garden and gives them everything they need to eat. When he recognizes that it's not good for man to be alone, what does he do? He creates woman. Gives him everything he needs. Because he's saying, I don't want you to lack anything. And not only that, you see him, he doesn't just, you know, again, okay, here you are, you're created, you've got each other, you've got this garden, now go do what I told you. No, it talks about him walking with them in the cool of the evening, in the garden. Okay, he didn't leave them on their own. He was there to guide them. So in Genesis 3, after they've eaten the forbidden fruit and they're hiding from God, God shows up. And then what do you see? Again, do you see God wanting to take their head off? Is that what you see in Genesis 3? Where God shows up in the garden and says, what'd you do? Where are you at? Why? I know why you're hiding. That's not what he does. What does he do? He asks questions. He first says, where are you at? And they say, well, we were hiding from you because we were naked. Well, who told you you were naked? Now I'm pretty sure, I don't have time to get into this, I'm pretty sure God already knew the answer to these questions. Okay? And he could have pronounced judgment, bam. But what I see here, God, is the good shepherd dealing gently with his creation. And then he doesn't just leave him there. I mean, it goes on and on. Even in his punishment, if you will, the consequences for them breaking his rules. And he says, you're going to die. You're going to die. And that some people believe is a act of grace. He says, he banishes them from the garden so they can't eat the tree of life and live forever. Because who wants to live forever in a state separated from God? And we know from the rest of the story that death is defeated and that there's a resurrection and that there's a reuniting between God and man in relationship the way it's supposed to be. And that's why we are able as believers to approach death differently. We are able to, as it says, to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Death is the ultimate evil, guys. And our good shepherd has provided us a way out of death. And that is just incredible. It's awesome to think about, guys. You see, guys, when you see this, and you look at him as the great shepherd, what I see there is we were created requiring direction. We're not just able to go our own way. We're not just able to figure it out naturally. Okay? God planned for us to require direction. What's that mean? We need a shepherd. Because we're his flock. So guys, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a part of God's flock? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And my first point is, in being a part of God's flock means I recognize and acknowledge my tendency to go my own way. Okay, guys? This is just very, very, very fundamental. Here in Isaiah 53, it explains it in very clear terminology. It says, in verse 6 and 7, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, yet he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Us recognizing that we've went astray, and not only have we went astray, our tendency is to go astray. Okay? I mean, I'm going to talk about in a little bit about how the flock stays together and helps each other, but guess what? Sheep have a tendency to get lost. Sheep have a tendency to go all the way, to get themselves separated from the flock. And guess what? That so do we. We have a tendency, and I love this terminology, this phrase, have gone astray. Each of us has gone to our own way. See guys, you know this with all your heart. You want to live your life your way. And this is what Jesus was talking about. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 verse 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants me to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And in a parallel passage, he talks about this being a daily endeavor. Carry your cross daily. Why do you have to die to yourself daily? Because we have a tendency to go astray. We want to go our own way. I want to do things my way. I want to do what I see is right. I want to follow my feelings and my desires. You see, guys, here's the interesting point, and I put these verses in reverse for this very reason. We just read Matthew 16 and 24, but let's read the verses before it. Verses 22 to 23, this is what happens. Now, what's going on here is Peter, one of Jesus' chosen 12 apostles, been hanging out with him for quite some time at this point. In fact, Jesus has just opened up to Peter about, and the rest of the 12, about what's going to happen to him, about how he's going to be crucified, he's going to die, and on and on. And here's Peter's response to that. It says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Here's the key line. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You see, guys, this is the challenge for each and every one of us. Is that we have human concerns at our heart and our soul, at our core. We are not naturally consumed with God's concerns. It has to be a choice. So guys, if we're part of the flock, we need to recognize that we're going astray. Why? Because once you recognize your tendency to go astray, what does that cause you to do? It causes you to look for the shepherd. It causes you to trust the shepherd. It causes you to follow the shepherd. Okay? And you recognize that, hey, it's going to happen from time to time. See, guys, Peter required direction. All right? I love the Bible the way it does this. And Peter, there's about at least two other very clear situations in Peter's life where his going astray is made very public for all of eternity. All right? And I believe that's an example for us, guys. And I bring this up very plainly, very clearly, because, guys, we live in America. And if there's one thing Americans are known for is our independence. We can take care of ourselves. We can figure it out for ourselves. You're free to be whatever you want to be. It's a country where you can grow up and anybody can be the president. That's not true, by the way, okay? There's only been about 50 of them, or a little less. I forget the numbers. I get them mixed up. I think, well, I'm 47 or 48. Nobody knows. Less than 50. 50 people in all of our history have been president. Not everybody can be president. But guys, we grew up with that idea that you can choose what you want to do, be what you want to be, go the direction you want to go, and you should have every right to do that. God says, I'm your shepherd, and I know what's best for you. If you seek me, you will find me, and I will show you the direction you should go. And let me tell you, guys, if you're serious about following Jesus, you're going to have your desire go in conflict with Jesus's on a regular basis. That's the reality of the situation. And so, guys, if being a part of the flock means that we recognize that we want to go astray. The second thing, guys, what does it mean to be a member of, part of Jesus's flock, or God's flock, is I listen for and follow Jesus's voice. I listen for and follow Jesus's voice. This is what Jesus has to say in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Guys, that is how we should be about the voice of Jesus. Let's just be real for a minute. How many voices do you have coming at you in a given day? How many people? How many ideas? I mean, if you watch any kind of entertainment, you have ideas that are coming at you that are not from Jesus. Things that they just may present, this is normal life. And Jesus says, no, that's not it. And you have friends who come at you and they present different, it's a different voice. I've shared many times about my friends in the business world, and the voice that they bring to me is the voice of greed. And I can be like those sheep and go, no, that's not the voice of my master. You see, guys, because I have other thoughts, you know, about what I'm supposed to do with the resources God has given me. The question is, guys, are you listening for the voice of Jesus? And let me just ask you this. When was the last time you recognized a different voice? When you looked at a voice, heard a voice like the sheep heard, and you just flat ignored it. And you, more than ignored it, you recognized, that's ungodly. It sounds good, sounds right even, but that's not what Jesus wants me to think, do, or feel. See, guys, that's the big challenge. Because as a member of the flock of Jesus, we're to listen for his voice. And I ask the question again, a different way. How are you actively listening for the voice of Jesus? How are you doing it? And guys, I want to listen throughout two things that you need to be fully aware of, and we could talk for hours on this. The first one you're going to know. If you're going to be listening for the voice of Jesus, you got to know the words of Jesus. Okay? You need to be not only reading the Bible, but thinking about, meditating upon what you've read. You need to be listening and seeking out explanations of things you don't quite get. Or an explanation of something you think you have, but you're not sure you're right. You've got to be exposed to God's word and digging into it. You've got to be seeking to hear his voice. And the primary way, the question is, well, how do you know if it's Jesus or not? Well, let me just tell you one real clear thing. If you're hearing a voice or direction or feeling led, whatever way you want to say it, to do something, and the Bible says you shouldn't do it, it's not the voice of Jesus. And when you're feeling led to do something, and the Bible does say to do it, there's a real good chance that's the voice of Jesus. Okay? And guys, that's to do it. The other way, guys, is by following his spirit. And I've talked a lot about this in other lessons. But Jesus gave us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. To guide us. Now, I can't tell you all the particulars of that, of how that all works in this lesson, but I can tell you it's real. It's a real thing. His spirit lives inside of you, and he will guide you. You will have thoughts in the moment. When you're listening for the voice of Jesus, you have thoughts in the moment that say, I need to get out of here. I need to leave. And you may not even know why. Or you may say, I need to do something that you can't even see a reason for. You may need to help somebody who's been praying for help and it seems insignificant. You're getting out of your comfort zone. The question is, are you listening for the voice of Jesus? Does Jesus want you to do it? You see here, guys, in Hebrews chapter 3, this is what it says. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. See that, guys? Catch that. Fix your thoughts. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. See, because guys, what he's telling the Hebrew believers there? Don't just listen for the voice. Take some action. Okay, respond to it. Next thing, third thing. What's it mean to be a part of God's flock? Is I'm connected to and concerned with the rest of the flock. Okay, back to being an American. I can do it myself. How many times have you heard it? I can be a Christian. I can worship God sitting in the woods all by myself. I like that idea. I call it deer hunting. And that is true. Okay, you can. You can pledge your allegiance to serve God and you can have some incredible thoughts while you're alone by yourself. But we need the flock of God. We need to be not only connected to, and this is more than coming to church on Sunday morning, okay? I think it's important. I think it's significant, but there's more involved. Connection. I'm more concerned with a person's connection than I am with their attendance. Okay? I'm concerned with their connection more than their attendance. And so that's, guys, what you need to, what you really need to focus on here. You see, guys, this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is in him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Guys, here's the question. If Jesus is gathering the flock, do you want to be involved? Do you want to be part of that flock? Or do you want to be off by yourself? Okay, he's going to lead the flock to everything they need. Two things with regards to this, guys, with being connected to and concerned with the flock. First of all, is I follow leaders that are following Jesus. Okay, guys, this is pretty significant. And why do I say this? Because, guys, Back to what I said, we live in a time where we are under the influence of influencers all over the place. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. Even within the world of Christianity, you have this. Okay? And guys, look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Guys, I want to tell you that right now, I'm just going to be as blunt as I can, real as I can. Tim Allen and myself are the elders here at Greater Alton. And our desire is to be examples for you. Our desire is for us to follow Jesus so that you see the direction we're going. That is it. You know, when I spoke earlier about recognizing a wrong voice, one of the things I am most proud of in us is you will hear one of the three of us say, well, my sinful nature desires this. You know, and we're acknowledging, hey, I have a tendency to want something that the king doesn't want, that the shepherd doesn't want, that Jesus won't agree with. And we're recognizing that. But guys, we had a meeting. We have a core meeting here every so often. Once a month we try to have it. And it's with Tim and Alan and I, our wives, and some other leaders here in the church. And a topic got brought up this last core meeting. Okay, very, very important, very significant topic. All right? And I don't know if... there's some things going on with the church across the river, okay? And we know about this. And we've heard about this. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and some of you, doesn't matter. Okay? And Mike Denius was in the meeting, and he brings it up, and he says, guys, I'm concerned about gossip. Gossip. He's concerned that we are talking about this, and when, because we're not a part of the problem and we're not a part of the solution, and there's talk going on that shouldn't be going on. And guys, guess what? That is a real concern. That is a real thing. And so we got talking about it. Now we discussed that some of us are going to be involved in that situation. Okay, and again, can't get into details, it's not important. We need to help hurting people. Okay? And we discussed this at length. And what was very cool, because I'm sitting there and I know as much as anybody, and I'm sitting there and I'm asking myself, first of all, have I gossiped? And I was very pleased to say, I said, maybe one situation might have been. I've withheld information from somebody. In fact, somebody several weeks later or a few weeks later after the fact came up to me and said, hey, I don't know if you heard about this. This might fall under the line of gossip. And I've said, yeah, I've heard about it. What's that mean? I hadn't told him, hadn't told you about it. I'm not going to gossip about it. And we sat there. Alan asked the question. He says, guys, we need to make sure we're not doing what we see as the problem over there. He's saying we need to learn from what we're seeing, what's going on. Tim had already, when we had discussed this privately and he was hearing about it privately, Tim is sending a text message to Alan and I saying, guys, he's quoting Proverbs to us. Imagine that. He's quoting Proverbs. And he's telling us basically, guys, don't be proud in this situation. We have no pride here. He's warning us. I don't believe we were being prideful, but he's warning us with Proverbs. And don't get overjoyed at somebody else's failure. Okay? And somebody else is stumbling. And guys, our desire is to follow Jesus. I want you to know that, guys. And I'm going to say it. I will say it. If we're not following Jesus, don't follow us. I will say it. If you look at me and go, Gary, look, I think you're wrong here. I think not only you're wrong, you're ungodly. And you may find, number one, we want to hear about it. We'd be happy to talk to you about it. Mike brought it up and we talked about it and we looked at it. And we will do that with anything you bring up to us. And I want you guys to know that. The last thing, guys, what's it mean to be a part of God's flock is I fulfill my responsibility to the other sheep. This is an ongoing or a continuing theme in all of these illustrations of the way the Bible describes the church. But we need to have concern for each other, and we need to see that we have a responsibility to each other. Look at this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Guys, I love the fact that tells you to restore that person gently. Just the same way that you see Jesus dealing with his flock is the way we're to do it. You know, I went back to, you know, I want to point back again to what I talked about earlier about God in the garden after Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit. And God shows up. Now, I've always said that if you want to talk to somebody about something, or, you know, you want to disagree with somebody about something, or you want to challenge somebody about something, you need to ask three questions. Okay, I'm not going to tell you, I don't know what those three questions are, by the way, because I don't know the situation. But I'm just saying this is Gary's advice, to ask three questions to make sure you understand what's going on, to make sure you understand exactly what the other person is talking about. How many times have you gotten in an argument with somebody and you're talking about the same thing? You're saying the same thing using different words. That happened to anybody here yesterday? No, that happens. Guys, in Genesis chapter 3, you know how many questions God answers? God asks? Four. He asked four. So I'm wrong, you know. But guys, he doesn't just come in and lop their heads off. He doesn't come in and rip them a new one. He comes in asking questions, gently restoring them, and providing a path for all of humanity to get back to him. You see, guys, I don't know if you realize it or not, but you are needed. Not only do you need the church, you need the flock needs you. Okay? The flock needs you. In whatever capacity that may be. But guys, I want to show you one more video. I got two videos today. Sheep are wonderful. I want to show you this video and then I'll close out.
Carmen over here at Namrak Farms. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. And Caesar says hello to you. And I'm over here. It's about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. The sheep are all hanging out here in the shade already. But remember Tony? Tony Two Toes Malone, a.k.a. T-Bone? He's the new one that we just brought in. And he was brought in from another shepherd just north of us. And when Tony got here, the very first thing he did was run to gather in with other sheep. He wanted to be around other sheep. And you see, even now, he's a little nervous. He's by himself. He's looking around to make sure there's other sheep around. And the truth is, when I call, he had no clue who I was. He doesn't know my voice. Those first few days here, he was clueless. However, when I would call, my other sheep would come. And being a sheep, and sheep follow sheep, Tony would follow them. Now, he kept his distance. He kind of took up with Susie Q Knucklehead and a little bit wary of me and just kind of keeping his distance. But I keep calling. I'm persistent with my call. And I'm patient because I know in time he will put my voice together with the call to come. And he'll understand. He'll learn the sound of my voice. And the Good Shepherd, he is patient. He is kind. He knows that the new sheep in his flock, they need time. Time to learn the sound of his voice. Time to learn his call. And he lovingly and persistently continues to call, knowing that they'll huddle up with the other sheep and that they will come when the other sheep come. They'll probably keep their distance at first, but eventually they'll learn the sound of his voice and come when he calls. Now y'all go enjoy the shepherd, and I'll see you soon.
You catch that, guys? T-Bone wanted to be around other sheep, and they says he will learn to hear and recognize the voice of the shepherd from following the other sheep who are following the shepherd. You see, guys, as I said earlier, every one of us is going to want to go our own way. And there's times when we're going to do it and we're going to look at the rest of the flock and go, okay, I need to get back. I need to quit doing my own thing and I need to get back following Jesus. I need to get back hearing his voice. So guys, as I close out the day, I ask, where are you at today? Where are you at today? And you could be anywhere. You could be like, you could be resistant to this idea of being a sheep. It's reality. If you're in that case, I encourage you to go back over this, listen to this, read the notes, and make whatever decision you need to make. Guys, if you're sitting here and you're going, I don't listen for the voice of Jesus. Guys, that's the ultimate call of this lesson. Am I listening to the voice of Jesus? Or am I at least learning? Am I wanting to learn how to hear the voice of Jesus and recognize the voice of Jesus in my life? No matter where you are today, guys, remember, God is the Good Shepherd. And he's patient with you. But he wants you to be an active member of his flock. Let's pray. Father, it is incredible to look at you and your character and to look at what you have done and what you continue to do in my life personally, but Father, and in lives of those around me, but Father, but for all of humanity. Father, the way you have planned these things out millennia ago, and you are faithfully executing your plan. And Father, you've given us not only Jesus, which we cannot undervalue, but Father, you've given us his word and the words from before him that came from you to show us about you. And so that we can be sure when we're hearing his voice. Father, my prayer right now today is that we can all have that desire. That Father, we can all be honest with ourselves. We can recognize and acknowledge our desire to go astray. Father, to go our own way. And Father, I pray right now. I pray that sometime during this lesson, there's probably people in this room that are doing that. Father, I pray you show them what it is. And Father, not only that, you give them the courage and the strength and whatever else they need, Father, to make the decision to follow you in whatever area that is. Father, help us to hear your voice. And it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers. Turn my heart, O Lord, by your hand, till my whole life flows in the river of your spirit and mind. your Spirit and my name brings honor to the Lamb. Lord, I surrender to your work in me. I rest my life within your love. Spirit.